Thessalonians. And if you would take out your outline, we've been looking at the various prophecies yet to be filled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We looked at the rewards of the saints, the rewards of Christians last week. And there was a time of rewarding there in heaven, immediately after the rapture. Here we're looking at the revealing of Antichrist. But let me ask you this question before we get into it. How do you deal with a lie? Well, if it's a lie that we have said, we certainly need to confess that as sin and ask the Lord to forgive us and to make us peoples of truth, not of falsehood. But how do you deal with a lie when it's coming from someone else, from others, whether it be on the TV, radio, where you work, where you go to school, where you live? How do you deal with a lie? Some just let it go. Some just deny it. Oh, that's wrong. That's a lie. It seems clear from Scripture that the best way for you and I to deal with a lie, to deal with falsehood, is with truth. With truth. To deal with it with the truth of God's Word especially. And this is what Paul is doing here in 2 Thessalonians. Now take a look, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians, the passage that was already read. He's dealing with a lie that has been promoted by teaching false teachers, false prophets, the spirit of untruth. Also, apparently a letter that was promoting that non-truth, that lie. And attached to the bottom of that letter that was sent to them there in Thessalonica, Paul's name. Now this didn't just happen once or twice. This seemed to be a regular ongoing strategy of Satan to destroy the church, to attack and erode the foundation of truth in Christ Jesus that the church was firmly planted on and building up on. And so there were all sorts of letters purported to be letters from from various disciples or apostles. And that's why you and I can praise the Lord, because it was such an inundation of false gospels, false Christs, lies, that you and I can be very grateful to the Lord for how God has preserved His Word, the Bible, the truth for us today. We see the Bible still, the truth of God, still being attacked by lies, whether it be in schools and universities and colleges and churches. Yes, even in churches. So part of the, if you will, background for what we're going to be studying as far as the revealing of the Antichrist, we need to appreciate how God preserves and protects His truth. So His people in every age, in every generation, can hear the truth and come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that they would share that truth with all boldness and confidence that this is God's Word, like Paul did with the Thessalonians in the beginning when he presented the gospel to them. And they received it not as the Word of man, as Paul reminds them in 1 Thessalonians, but as the very Word of God for which it truly is. And so as it has been preserved for them, and Paul proclaimed it, it's preserved for you and I, that you and I will also live and proclaim it to others. They need to hear the truth. And one of the biblical and most profound ways that you and I can deal with lies is to proclaim the truth. So here in Paul's letter, second letter to the Thessalonians, he's dealing with a lie, false teaching, the revealing of Antichrist. You see, the believers there in Thessalonica were told that, well, the rapture already happened. And so, of course, he dealt with that in the first letter. They were afraid of also the loved ones, Christians who died in faith in Christ Jesus. What's going to happen to them? They were hearing all sorts of distortions about the day of the Lord. That the day of the Lord had already come. They were fearful. They were unsettled. They were unstable in their doctrine, but also in their walk as Christians. But as a preface, if you will, let me share some verses that speak of the truth of God. You have them in your outline before you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned from God, from idols to God, from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the, would you circle that? From the wrath to come. There is a coming wrath. We see that clearly in the book of Revelation, and also mentioned by Paul in his teachings of truth, the wrath of God to come. We'll get back to that shortly. Then again, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 through 18, passage we looked at a couple Sundays ago, then we who are alive, and he's talking about the rapture of the church, the rapture of born-again believers, the rapture of those, resurrection of the body of those who have died in Christ, where their spirits are present with the Lord. Then we who are alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, where? In the air. Circle that, in the air. In one sense, there's two second comings of Christ. I know that's a contradiction. Please forgive me. But there's one where Christ is coming for his church and meeting them in the air, and thus you shall always be with the Lord. Following that, as we mentioned, is the rewards before the Bema seat of Jesus Christ, and also the marriage feast of the Lamb. But notice, if you will, meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. There's not going to be any intermission in that relationship and that fellowship with him, always with the Lord. Therefore, circle that word, encourage. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. These truths is what he's talking about. You see, they were really greatly discouraged with falsehoods, with lies, with false teachings, false prophecies. And Paul wanted to deal with it. He wasn't denying, he was dealing with it with truth to encourage them. It's not encouraging to think that I'm going to go through the great tribulation. I don't find any encouragement at all in that. But I do find great hope and encouragement in that blessed hope that Jesus Christ is coming back for his own. And so we see, time and time again, Satan will use events that are yet coming that are also presented in the Word of God, but he'll distort them and bring great fear and discouragement and calamity amongst God's people. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Then again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, wrath is coming, judgment is coming, the day of the Lord is yet to come. And we'll see how the day of the Lord begins at the beginning of the tribulation period, right on through, and brings it to the great white throne judgment. The wrath begins with the breaking of the seals. And it's God who's breaking the seals. And the seals represent the pouring out of God's wrath. Now, I know we can get into a bit of a debate, not necessarily an argument, but a debate and some discourse, and say, well, you know, part of that is the wrath of man. Yes! But when has not the wrath of man been under the sovereign control of God? Never. It's always been under the sovereign control of God. And who's breaking those seals? Is it man? No, it's God. God's Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And so we see the day of the Lord unfolding. And it begins with that first seal being broken. Now, we won't get into all the passages. There's passages in Daniel that speak of the beast who is the Antichrist. We see in the Word of God that Satan loves to counterfeit Christ. He loves to counterfeit God because he wants to be God. He wants to be the Messiah, in his own world. And that's why just as there is a true Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's an unholy Trinity too. Satan, the beast who is Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now there's a lot of things involved in future prophecies. And it's not my intent this morning to deal with all of those aspects. But just to set the stage, if you will, for what we're going to be looking at in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because there's distortions. And some have said, well, the day of the Lord has already begun. Some of the cults that Jesus Christ has already come and he's taken his 144,000 back to heaven. There's all sorts of distortions and lies, and you and I need to confront it with the truth. But God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean that we won't go through tribulation? No, we will. Will we go through the great tribulation? No, we won't. There are trials and tribulations that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his church that we will go through. But be of good cheer, be of good courage. He is overcome. And greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. Praise God for that. Amen. So, the rapture of the church. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Because Paul is addressing some falsehoods and various other things that are going on with false letters and false prophets, false teaching, he brings them up again with connecting it, if you will, to that blessed hope we have of seeing the Lord coming for his own, the rapture, if you will. So chapter 2, verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him. The same thing he said there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Being gathered together with the Lord. And he's speaking to his own. He's speaking to Christians. And our being gathered together with him. We ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed or either by a spirit. And John refers to the spirit of Antichrist that's in this world right now. You know, Satan is setting the stage. But let me tell you, the director and the producer, that's God. He's setting the whole stage. It's not just this one scene or the next scene, but it's the whole story. And he's going to bring it to completion for his glory. And so he doesn't want them to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit, a false spirit, a lying spirit, the spirit of Antichrist that John speaks about in 1 John chapter 2, or a spoken word or by a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. The rapture is not the day of the Lord. The rapture is the Lord coming for his own. The day of the Lord begins with the great tribulation. But let's take a look, if you will. The Lord's coming. Already mentioned and taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. It is our hope. It is our expectation. It is our encouragement. And we encourage each other. Not to say that, again, that we won't go through periods of persecution. Look at the church in the Middle East. Look at our brothers and sisters in Christ in Africa. Yes. In many of their minds and hearts, they probably think, oh, are we going through the Great Tribulation? I can understand that. But the early Christians also went through some horrendous periods, long periods of persecution. Some of that persecution and hard persecution and hot persecution preceded even this letter here that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. So there are those seasons of trials, of tribulation, of persecutions for God's people on this side of glory, on this side of the rapture. But the Lord did speak of the coming great tribulation that has never affected the world like it will when it comes. When literally all hell will break out here on earth. Let's go on. The Lord's coming. I praise the Lord, he's coming. Don't you? Amen. The gathering to himself. There won't be any left behind in the body of Christ. You need to know that. If you're a born-again believer, you're part of the body of Christ. You will not be left behind. You will be gathered together with all of the saints together. those that have died in their spirits are in glory right now, and the resurrection to come at the rapture period to be gathered together. Do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed because of false teaching. Don't be confused, is what the Lord is saying to us today too. God is not the author of confusion. God is a God of intellect, wisdom, and order, and love and care, and a God of encouragement for his people. The day of the Lord, in your outline before you, and Paul refers it to here, Peter refers to the day of the Lord, it's a day of wrath and judgment. But it's not just a 24-hour day. Some have distorted and say, well, when is that day? Give me a date. We always love our dates, don't we? The day of the Lord is a span of time. We use that term too. There was a period of time in the history of humanity where they said, now, we're in the day of enlightenment. Have you ever heard that phrase be stated in some of the books in history? But in the day of enlightenment, you know, how enlightened we are, right? No, it's really more darkness. You've heard the term also, or the phrase, we live in the day of technology. Have you heard that term as well? So it's not just a 24-hour period, but it's a season of time. And the season of time, because of the day of the Lord, has clearly been prescribed by the Lord, its beginning and its ending. What precedes it and what follows. God is in control. And that's exactly what Paul is saying and what God is saying in his word to all of us. So if you're a born-again believer and the rapture was to have come today, you would not be left behind. If you're a born-again believer and the rapture happens next month, you're not going to be left behind. Right? But the day of the Lord is to come, and it's a time of God's wrath and judgment, beginning with the great tribulation, right up to, if you will, the great white throne judgment. Let's go on. The restraining influence of the Holy Spirit through the church is removed. We have that verses 6 and 7 here, where he says, and you know what? Circle that word, what? Generally, we use the word what for something that's neutral, something that's neuter, not in that masculine or feminine gender. Sometimes we use the what as for an it, you know. But you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed at this time. Of course, he's talking about the revelation, the revealing of Antichrist. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, circle that word, he who now restrains, it will do so until he is out of the way. Again, the personal pronoun, but also the neutral. Paul, what are you talking about? Is it what or is it he? Is it an it or is it he? Oh, it's both. Oh, I know that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Well, let me explain to you from what I believe God's word is teaching. Right now, the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's all around. The Holy Spirit is God, and God is omnipresent, but in a very special relationship of his presence and power and work is in the life of every born-again believer. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And therefore, in the community of believers, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling, manifesting his holiness, his truth, his wisdom, his power, his work in the life and body of the church. And so when Paul talks about the restrainer being removed, I believe what he's talking about is the fact that the church at the rapture is being removed from the earth, from this world system. How do we restrain lawlessness when you and I are truly the salt and light that Christ has made us to be? Salt preserves. Salt makes people thirsty. But salt also does something about corruption and putrefaction. It holds it back. And so when the rapture comes, the manifest presence and power and working of the Holy Spirit in and through the church as a witness for the glorious and godly gospel of Jesus Christ in this world will be removed. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit, he's just out of the way. I like this translation in the ESV. He's just out of the way. And God is going to let humanity, like he says there, like Paul says there in Romans chapter 1, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. God gave them over to a degenerate mind. God gave them over to all these immoralities and debasements of humanity. And when the church is raptured, that which is restraining right now, your life and my life in Jesus Christ and Christ through us, will no longer have that restraining influence here in this world. But again, that does not mean that the Holy Spirit is removed from the world. Because we see in the book of Revelation that there will be those men and women and boys and girls who will be saved. They will come to faith in Jesus Christ, and they'll be persecuted for it severely. But clearly, there's coming a time when the church will not have that God intended, and I must say it that way, that God intended influence and power in the world. And for the most part, it's not having all that Christ wants us to have and to be in this world that you and I live in. Why do we see a great awakening here in the United States? Why do we see in the history of our United States more than 60 million babies being aborted? Why do we see all these horrific acts, child molestation growing, pornography growing, marriage being completely ridiculed? We could go on. I'm not here to proclaim wickedness, but I am here to pray godliness and truth and righteousness in Jesus Christ. And you are too. Every one of us are. We're to be that salt. We're to be that light. And we're to deal with the lies and the falsehoods of this world and say, no, that's wrong. Let me tell you the truth. You see, that's what Paul's doing. And that's what the church should be doing. That's wrong. And we speak out for that which is true and right and holy. Restraining influence of the Holy Spirit through the church is removed. The restraint of lawlessness is at present. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's already unfolding. It's already being revealed certainly to the child of God, as revealed through this God's Word. That's why John could say, turn with me, if you will, to 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Children, it is at the last hour. It is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, and so now many Antichrists have come. Again, there in verse 22, chapter 1. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Then again in chapter 4, first John, he talks about, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God or from many false prophets have gone in. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that's the incarnation of God. I believe God, the Son, came in human flesh to die as a sacrifice for you and I there on Calvary's cross. And he was raised bodily in a new body, a resurrected body, there from the grave. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of what? Of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. The spirit of Antichrist. So there is that working, if you will. You've heard conspiracy theories, haven't you? I mean, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories, okay? This is one true conspiracy. It really is. By Satan, by his cohorts, by the demons, in this world system that's trying to press you and I into its mold, that we would not be conformed to Jesus Christ. We need to be aware of that. The spirit of Antichrist, the word Antichrist here in your following outline has two meanings. Anti, meaning against, or in place of. And both are applied to this one person who's coming up in the future. But I'll tell you, I'm not looking to see who the Antichrist is. I'm looking to the Lord. As one black pastor says, you know, I'm not looking to the Undertaker. I'm looking to the what? The Uppertaker. I'm not looking to Antichrist. I'm looking to the one and true and only Jesus Christ, my Savior. And know that I have hope and great encouragement in Him and His truth, the Word. Now take a look, if you will, in your outlines before you. Verses 3 and 5, or in your Bibles. It's just quoted in your outline. And let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will come unless the rebellion comes. I'm sorry. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Many have claimed themselves to be Christ. Many have claimed themselves to be God throughout the history of humanity. This is nothing new. But this is someone totally different. Manifestly different. But still having that spirit of Satan, a son of perdition, controlled by Satan, used by Satan. Now, he doesn't become the world ruler like that. There's some things that lead up because a stage is being set. And so during that great tribulation period, yes, there will be a rebellion. That rebellion is against all things that represent worship and religion. Why? Because Satan, who wants to be worshipped, who wants to be, as if you will, that beast, that antichrist, that one who opposes Christ, who's in the place of Christ in his own mind and in the plan of Satan, that he would be worshipped and the false prophet. But it doesn't happen just like that. There is that rebellion against every form of religion, every form of religion, even the residual of, if you will, Christianity that will be left behind after the rapture, because there will still be churches that will still function without true life, without truth, without the gospel, but will have the name Christian Church. And you'll have Hinduism, Buddhism. It's not only against religion and all things that speak of true God, but a grasping for power economically, sociologically, also theologically. And so when the Antichrist who comes, not significantly at first, but he will make his mark. He will make his mark. And in all the rebellion in this world of chaos and distortion and immorality, he will rise up into prominence. And he will make peace. Make peace with Jerusalem. Make peace with Israel. But as we see here in God's Word, he's not just the, quote, peacemaker. He has a plan. Satan's conspiracy. He wants to be worshipped. And so that he takes his seat in the temple of God. Where will that be? In Jerusalem. That's why a lot of things are being set on the stage right now in the Middle East and in Jerusalem as well. We may see the temple being built. I don't know. But I know it's going to be built. I don't doubt that. And it'll be in that temple that the Antichrist will sit and say that I am God. Because he's tried to extinguish all other religions. Extinguish them. He's also tried to establish, and he will establish, one world religion. And he will also exalt himself as God, the head of that religion. That's the Antichrist. But the spirit of Antichrist is in the world right now. That's what John is saying. And when you see men and women exalting themselves up, even in, if you will, in the recognized church, and acting like God, that's the spirit of Antichrist. We have to deal with the truth. I'm sorry. We have to deal with the lies with the truth of God's word. A couple of weeks ago, I met a minister who was a chaplain. And he's finding out a little information about someone in the room that I was visiting. And getting some questionnaires filled out. And I greeted him, told him who I was and whatnot. And he told me who he was. I didn't recognize him as the chaplain or minister at the time. And so without him clearly saying that, I asked him, I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And his first response was, well, I'm a minister. That doesn't say it. That wasn't the question. And you know, you ask people today, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, I go to church. I go to Sunday school. I was baptized many years ago. I raised my hand. That's not the question. Do you know, personally know, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the question. And that's a question that needs to be asked. Because you know, people are dying without Christ. Right now. And you and I, who know Jesus personally as Lord and Savior, he says of his church, that's people, it's not the building. It's not an organization, it's a body. It's an organism, a living, breathing organism that breathes out glory to God in Christ's name. That must be the salt and the light. Because the day of the Lord is coming. It really is. He's referred to this Antichrist in many other passages than we've written down there. But he's part of that unholy trinity. Satan, the beast, or the Antichrist, and the false prophet. He's a man of lawlessness, and he will be revealed. His character and conduct is mentioned here in verses 3 through 5. But let's take a look, at verses 9 through 12 in your outline before you. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of who? Satan, not man, by Satan. With all power and false signs and wonders, with all wicked deception, for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe in the truth and but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul deals with this and clearly defines it even more there in Romans chapter 1 about the corruption of sin. And you know, one of the severe consequences of sin certainly is the wrath and coming judgment of God. But right now, do you realize that one of the severe consequences of sin is more sin? Is more sin. And more sin. And more sin. And so sometimes people come to this passage and say, well, what is God? Is he the author of a falsehood and delusion? No, he's not. But he's allowing them, being so influenced because they did not turn to the true God and their hearts were not in tune with any desire for righteousness, but rather unrighteousness. And God says, okay, I'm taking the restraining influence of my people out of the world. I'm taking the work of the Holy Spirit out of the way, not out of the world, but out of the way, so man can see how corrupt and how wicked and how evil man is. But for the grace of God, beloved, there go you and I. But for the grace of God, satanic deception leading to corruption, verses 9 through 10. He will use everything from his workshop, if you will, all the power that God has allowed him to have. Look at Job. God has allowed him to have, but set the limits and the boundaries. False signs and false wonders. A strong delusion leading to condemnation. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 17, verse 17. This picks up that idea that God will allow the evilness and the wickedness of sin in the nature of man and women to come to the fore and promote all sorts of lies and falsehoods and wickedness and evilness. Take a look at Revelation chapter 17 and verse 17. For God has put into their hearts to carry out His purpose. What is His purpose? Redemption? Yes, right now. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise God for that. But also to bring about His wrath and judgment. Take a look at His purpose for being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast. That's the Antichrist. Until the words of God are fulfilled. God has a plan. Satan has a plan. Who do you think's plan is going to work out and be completed? That's a no-brainer. God's plan, right? And you know, Pilate was used by God. The Pharisees and Sadducees were used by God when they murdered His Son on the cross through the instrumentality of the Roman soldiers. But God's overarching plan of redemption used all of the wickedness and the vileness and the evilness of man. Did God originate that? No. But God is not controlled by it. God is not thwarted by it. God is not discouraged by it. He did not say, oops, what happened there? And that's what he's saying here in 2 Thessalonians. God, in removing the salt and light in the body of the church out of the world by having the Holy Spirit stepping out of the way, stepping aside, and the restraints removed, then God is allowing that the consequences of the sinful heart of men and women and boys and girls will produce more sin. And God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. That's what Paul is saying here. God is not the author of sin. Satan is. But God is not defeated by sin or by Satan. He defeated both there at the cross and the resurrection for His children. For His children and all who come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, there's a big L Lord in this world, and we sang about Him. He has another name, El Shaddai. You love that name, don't you? God Almighty. And then we have a little L, that's Satan. He likes to think of himself as Lord in your life, circumstances, in my life circumstances, in the world that we live in, but he's still a little L that God permits. And then one day, big L stamps out little L. Between now and then, between now and the rapture, you and I have a mission to proclaim who? Big L, Lord. To defeat little L. That's what Paul is getting at for the Thessalonians. To give them a hope, a living hope in Jesus Christ. To give them encouragement from truth, not from lies, not from dreams, not for hope-sos or think-sos or feel-sos. But what God has declared and is doing in the world that you and I live in right now. Maybe the rapture will happen this afternoon. I don't know. But if it does, praise God. If it doesn't, how many people this week will you tell them about Jesus? They need to hear. For the day of the Lord is coming. In your outlines before you, we have some 10 keys about the Antichrist identity. But the return of the Lord, circle that word, to the earth, that phrase, to the earth. He's coming to this earth. Revelation chapter 19 and 20. He's setting up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And that's in verse 8. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the fearing of his coming here to the earth, not to the clouds. Take a look at Revelation 19. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on his horse, faithful and true. Let me ask you, is that little L or big L? Big L, right? Yeah, that's the Lord. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule with them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress with the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And his robe and on his thigh has been written, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus? Amen? Yes, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. In the hearts of his people, in the heart of his church. And we need to live it like that too. Yes, we do have a creed. What we declare to what we believe in. That's the truth from God's word. We do have a conduct too that goes along with that creed, that truth. And that creed and that conduct, by the grace of God and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, begins to shape our character, who we really are in Jesus Christ. Personal applications for the believer in Christ. Be ready. Live righteously. Live and share the gospel of Christ. How else? Don't be deceived. Don't be alarmed. God is in control. He really is. Acknowledge it. Submit to it. And resist the devil. No need to look to the Antichrist. I'm not looking for him. I know he's coming. I don't really care about him. I'm looking to the Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. For the unbelievers, come to Jesus now. Come to Jesus now. He will save you from your sin, from Satan, and from the coming wrath. I know he will. He's promised. He's told us that in his word. And then number two, if you've ever figured out who the Antichrist is, then I've got bad news for you. You've been left behind. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Father, for the power of your gospel, which is the very power of God unto salvation. So, Lord, make us even more the salt and light that you desire and delight us to be for your name's sake. Holy Spirit, fill us with the very life and the presence. Fill us with the fullness of Jesus Christ, that others will see that the only way, the only truth, the only life is to be found in Jesus Christ. Our loved ones, our friends, our next door neighbors, for the day of the Lord is truly coming. Thank you, Father, that in Christ Jesus you have saved us from that coming day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.